From PWRDF, this is A Just Generation, where we delve into the world of social justice and social action, speaking to people around the world who are making a world of difference.
Hello all, my name is Dara Smith. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm recording from Hamilton, Ontario, the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe peoples. Today, we are going to be continuing our conversation around PWRDF's partners, this time discussing the work of MindWatch Canada. Our guest today is Jamie Neen. So, where are you joining us from?
I am in Ottawa, unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe people.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for joining our podcast. Let's jump in. Do you mind telling the listeners and I what Mining Watch Canada's mission is?
Mining Watch Canada was basically created to try and respond to the mining industry's depredations in Canada and around the world, you know, to support communities affected by mining and to try and change the conditions that allow the environmental and social abuses that mining engenders to continue.
Awesome. To build off of the last question, how is Mining Watch Canada achieving this mission?
We work in a couple of different ways. So one is supporting communities that are affected or affected by Canadian mining companies or the Canadian government's support for mining globally. We tie that to our work in Canada, again, to change policies to, you know, Mining Watch is not a charity, so we do engage politically to try and change the law, to change the policies, and to force Canadian companies to respect human rights and the environment.
What would you say is your guys' biggest obstacle?
I think it's partly just the power of the mining industry itself. It's very well entrenched politically. It's very economic, a lot more money and resources than we do or than any community group will ever have. But it's also the whole structure of colonialism and capitalism that create the demand, that support the industry in many ways, whether it's through investment or buying their products, that pell it and give it the kind of influence that it has.
When talking about mining, there is a great deal of violence with blasting rural areas. And as you know, that can affect many communities and our earth. Could you just highlight a few examples that is of importance for Mining Watch Canada?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've been working, for example, on a project over the last year focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic and mining, not providing immediately useful things for people, but essential to investors, it's essential to the corporations to keep functioning, if not to society at large. And the result is that they've put mine workers at risk, they've put mining communities at risk, and a lot of places where there are conflicts, governments supporting the mining industry have used the pandemic as an excuse to shut down protests, to shut down public consultations. Even here in Ontario, Niskanaga First Nation has called for a halt to mining exploration and permits on their territory. They've 19 years they've been under a boil water advisory, still a pandemic going on, and they have a housing emergency, and they're just not in any kind of situation and with the government or with the mining industry for development. And so they've said, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed before we can move forward. You know, there's actual, you know, police violence, breaking up blockades, telling people that they, even if they're following COVID protocols, that they can't be there, even if the mining company is allowed to continue operating, and that kind of thing. And this globally, really, in during the pandemic than before.
Some of the issues you just highlighted, they are active in the media, as you know, but they are kind of glossed over. How do you think that we can get these issues to be not as watered down in the media and more active in communities and in everyone's brain?
I think that podcasts like this are really important to, you know, basically we have to talk to our friends and neighbors. We have to talk to our families. We have to, you know, spread the word, whether that's through the media or directly through our own personal networks and so on, to build awareness and to try and build understanding and solidarity so that we're able to understand how our actions relate to people in other parts of the world and in other parts of the, as I said before, you know, even within the province, that the same kinds of dynamics exist, and we can take action in support of each other, and we can build understanding to support that action.
The British Columbia government and their regulation with dam safety, what does a threat like this pose to people, property, and the environment?
Well, one of the things that we've really been trying to draw to people's attention for a long time is the fact that most of what the mining industry produces is actually waste. You know, what they're selling is metal, you know, copper, silver, nickel, whatever. But most of what they produce is actually toxic waste, and, you know, hundreds of millions of tons of waste that are dangerous forever, that have to be stored safely and kept out of watersheds and rivers and so on. So we've really been trying to put a lot of focus on this, and there are ways to do this more safely. It's one of those things that's very difficult to do 100% safely. To try and make it, bring it to some kind of acceptable level of risk, and again, to get people to have some awareness of that everything we consume has this huge footprint on the planet, but also to try and push the provincial and federal governments to regulate these things in a way, put safety first, that puts the sustainability of, you know, in the case of BC, the salmon fishery in the Fraser River, which is downstream of many operating mines, or in the northern rivers that flow out to Alaska, where the First Nations in Alaska are really concerned, and so are the non-Indigenous fishing people. That there's a whole huge economy based on the land that is endangered when mine wastes are not being stored safely, when you've got these huge dams holding back toxic waste in the headwaters of the rivers and threatening the whole watershed. You know, we've got a BC mining law reform network trying to really push people, especially in the province of BC, because a lot of this is provincial jurisdiction, to make those laws and regulations as strong as they can be.
Thank you for engaging and sharing with us the work you are achieving alongside of this influential organization. I wish you and anyone listening all the best. And if anyone listening wants to discover more, you can visit pwrdf.org.
Thanks, Tara.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from PWRDF, you can follow us on Twitter at PWRDF, Instagram at PWRDF_justgeneration. And don't forget to check out pwrdf.org. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.